Buongiorno, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to the Magpie Channel podcast, episode 8. Cheers to Anarchy Brewery, as always, for hosting us. You can grab yourself a pack of war beer and support war flags at the same time by scanning the QR code on your screen or getting the video link in the description. Thank you as well, everyone that's locked in live already, and obviously our audio listeners as well on podcast platforms like Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get them, you can listen to us there. It's international break. Trying to call up England's number one. Keg,
hello.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. I will be England's number one next week.
You will be.
Charity game with the gloves on.
Yep.
Replacing Nick Pope.
All right, you'll be in there. Midget arms. Get a Pope injury. Huh? Very good.
I mean, there's a good chance.
There's a fair chance
I'll pick up some sort of injury, even playing in goal.
Me as well. Fair chance I'll pick up a Callum Wilson special, as I'll be the captain on Sunday, leading the line, number 9.
Yeah,
YouTube team there against Wilfie's Bruno Magic Hats. That's for charity on Sunday at Newcastle United Foundation, so looking forward to that one. Had a little kick about a day. Legs are completely gone. I'm way too old now.
That's why I'm going in goal.
Smart. Very smart.
Hope myself some new gloves. Buzzing for it.
You can have a look at our latest tweets there, and you can hit the link in the description for those and donate if you fancy it for the cause. I think they've raised about £500.
Nice.
So far, very good. Well done to Wilfie and Bruno's Magic Hat and his dad and everyone else involved. So looking forward to that one on Sunday. Since it's international break, there is still loads to talk about. Loads of topics to get through on this evening. So we'll start off with season isn't over. Season is not over for me. I'm not having it. I'm not having all this negativity. I did the match reaction against Man City on Saturday night. Everyone's saying, oh, Matty, that's it, done. Season's over. Not for me. I'm still staying positive. I still think there's plenty to fight for this season. European places.
We haven't won a trophy in 60 years or something. So why does this make any difference? Like, the season's far from over. Like, it's just another season without a trophy. Like, are the last 60 years irrelevant? Like, have we not achieved anything in 60 years? Like, different things can cause for achievements and accomplishments, like getting into the top 6, top 4. Like, they're all achievements, so there's still a lot to play for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, season's far from over. Like, yeah, it's disappointing. Like, realistically, were we going to win the Champions League? No.
No.
FA Cup, solid. Carabao Cup, I mean, we nearly won it last year, so that's a strong possibility. So that's disappointing not to at least get to as far as we did last year, but it's just one of them things, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's been a difficult season, like the added pressure of Champions League and all the unforeseen things such as the injuries and Tonali suspension and obviously the whole amount of games that we've had. Like, it's been a difficult year, so it's just one of them things. Like, there's still plenty to play for. Currently, we're not going to be playing in Europe where we're at, but we still can, and that's something to chase. So that's a lot to play for.
There is, like, because the next game in itself, Saturday the 30th against West Ham, is massive.
It is.
I think we're with 3 or 4 points off them. They played the other day, got a draw. So it is so close.
Yeah.
There is still 6 at a push, but 7th or 8th is definitely a fight for there. Like, we're 10th on 40 points. West Ham in 7th on 44. Mm-hmm. So we're 4 points behind them with the game in hand. Yeah. And we do play them next. So we can get that down to 1 point.
Yeah.
And then if we win our next game, we'll be in 7th, which would be Europa League.
Yeah, exactly.
6, Man United with 7 points off. Bit of an ask. They're going to be full of confidence now after their FA Cup win against Liverpool. But they're a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get with Ten Hag's team. But there, it's looking like obviously 8th could be enough this year as well for Conference League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the extra places and stuff. We're only 2 points off Brighton there in 8th. So, and we'll play them as well. So the massive thing is that we'll play these teams in and around us, and that's a huge chance to stake your claim for European football.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Wolves just ahead of us, like we're a better team than Wolves. Like, they're only a point behind them at the minute. Like, so yeah, there's loads to play for, and whether we get European football or not, like it's just like we spoke about last week, everyone wanting Eddie Howe out. Like, I'm still fully on board with being like a part of the journey. Sometimes you need to take a step back to go forward. I say there's been so many negative things like injuries, Tonali suspension, the added pressure of Champions League, more games. Like, it's just been a difficult season, and the FFP rules that we've spoken about nearly every week haven't been able to improve the squad of who was signed last season. We spent nearly all of our budget on Tonali, who got suspended. We had to sell Maximin to be able to afford Barnes, who has been out all season, just come back, then picked up another injury.
Class.
Tino cannot really get a game for some mad reason because he's probably been the best signing. Well, he absolutely definitely was the best summer signing. Couldn't afford to sign Hamza Chowdhury on loan in January. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's been a hard season. So, it is what it is. Like, I'm sure we'll get some more money in the summer. FFP will allow it to actually spend a decent amount of money in the summer. So, we'll just go again. Like, wherever we finish, it's fine. Like, don't worry about it.
Didn't worry about it. No. Everything's fine.
It's all fine.
Calm down.
Exactly.
Relax.
Didn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's games in hand. There's West Ham. We'll beat West Ham. Close the gap on there. There's still European football to get. Even if it's Conference League.
I'll take it.
No, nobody really wants to play in the Conference League. I'll especially, like, yeah, Tottenham's. Like, they were, like, when was it just put? Like, 2 years ago, wasn't it? The Conference League. Like, Tottenham finished in that position. They didn't really want to play in there, but...
No, I got knocked clean out now, didn't I?
Yeah, no. But for us...
Villa are flying in that.
Yeah.
West Ham won it last year. So it's not frowned upon as much as it used to be now for me. I don't think so. Like, I wouldn't either. I know people obviously got expectations now, just being the Champions League, beating the likes of San Siro, but...
Unrealistic expectations.
Overachieved. So.
We definitely overachieved last season, so now there's this expectation, which I think is quite ridiculous.
Imagine if we had got Conference League last season, would have been buzzing.
If
we
it didn't was in reverse,
that season we had. Yeah.
If we finished seventh last season and fourth this season, like, no one would be complaining.
Oh, Eddie Howe manager of the year and all that.
Yeah. But I think then, because that was progression without a setback, then there would be a level of expectation. So if we didn't get top four next year, then there would be a level of expectation and a bit of pressure to get top four.
Mm.
Whereas now, like, it's in reverse, like, in real time, we're overachieved and now we've set a standard that everyone thinks that we need to maintain. And it's going to be hard to do that. So, yeah, like, I think, like I say, sometimes you need to take a step back to go forward. And this is a long-term journey and a long-term project. Like, there's going to be setbacks. Like, just because this is only technically year two. Last year was the first full season of the new ownership and Eddie Howe and everyone, like, were overachieved in year one. So this just being the first year, it's like it's like kind of panic stations. Like, oh, we're taking a step back. Like, oh, it's not good enough, blah, blah. Like, if in 10 years time, what we've still got, obviously, fingers crossed, the same ownership, but it's like Eddie Howe. And if there's like, what could be up and down, what could spike, what could go up. And that's just part of football. Like, and that's why the Premier League is the best league in the world. It's like, if this was Germany or France, I think we would easily be a top three team in Germany.
Straight away.
But probably top four team in Germany, top three team in France, easily. But this is the Premier League. Like, you've got City, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, Villa, Brighton, West Ham. It's a hard league. Like, just to maintain top four, top six is solid.
Especially when we're coming from where we did under Ashley, no money, not spending, in a rot.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're kind of changed as much as we'd like because of FFP, then we have got mountains to climb and loads of hurdles to overcome.
Loads and loads of hurdles. So yeah, it's going to take time. So it's a disappointing season. We're all disappointed that where we are in the league more than anything. I think Champions League, we had some moments that'll last with us forever. PSG.
Group of death, couldn't do nothing about it.
Yeah. And we got far in the cup, got put out in the quarters by Man City. So fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to happen. Yep. If you avoid Man City, then you do well. If somehow they manage to get put out early, then it's like a relief of everybody because you don't want Man City in the draw.
Especially away.
And we got them. So, yeah, it's just one of them seasons, man. I think people have been a little bit over the top a bit. But, yeah, we'll move forward.
I'd understand if we had got knocked out of the quarters by Coventry, like Wolves did, who are above us at the minute.
Yeah.
Like, that's we've said it, Magic of the Cup.
Magic of the
that's
Cup.
What happens.
You never know.
They're in a semi final, man.
Yeah.
Fair play them. Well
good,
done.
Good to them, eh?
But that's where I'd see people maybe losing the plot a bit. Being like, what the hell? We've got beat off Coventry.
If we've got beat off Coventry, but I could understand.
We've been beat
it,
off one of the best teams that's ever existed. You know what I mean? They're on for a double treble. So you can't argue too much. Like, I know on the night what frustrated me was that I don't think Man City were that good, is what annoyed me. And again,
didn't
it
really
was.
Have to, no.
It was too. Lucky deflections. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we should have closed them down. Defense should have done better, but it is lucky. And it's not that we got better, but I just think we could have shown more. So I do get people's frustrations.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I do get people. I've seen people in the comments, you know, talking about Dan Burnett at wing back, which
wing
is
back.
Devastating.
It's bad enough at left back.
Bad enough anyway.
It's a wing back. I couldn't believe that when I seen that. I couldn't believe it.
I know, it's scary,
it's been bad enough over the last few weeks, still seeing him start at left back in bad form. But wing back?
I couldn't believe it.
Oh my god. Well, at the time we didn't know like Tino was injured. Obviously we knew Trippier was gonna be out. Yeah. We wouldn't say, oh my god. That's where it would have been nice to say like Lewis. Well, I think the kids
when
like,
he came on,
the young'uns played really, really well. I think we looked like we could have even got back into the game once the young'uns came on. Like Hall, Miley, absolutely class. Anderson, like that was a new burst of energy, and we looked like we were really, really pushing to get into the game where we didn't with the senior players. So yeah, credit to the young lads, and I hope we'll see more of Lewis Hall. Hopefully that development that Eddie Howe's been going on about is coming. It's been there to see, like against Man City. I thought he was absolutely brilliant, and Miley as well. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, because we're going to need them to step up. We're going to get into the rumours later on in the episode of Sean Longstaff to Leeds United is doing the rounds today and yesterday. Scouts watching Bruno and Isak, so we'll talk all about that. Towards the end of the episode, we'll get through these topics first. And remember, get your questions in. I can see a few of them already, but we'll touch on them throughout the show, mainly towards the end when we'll have the Q&A segment. So, we've said there's still plenty to play for this season. There is 10 games to go. Not including the Australian trip, which we'll talk about soon as well.
No.
But 10 Premier League matches left. Let's look at the fixtures, Keg, if you want to bring them up.
Yeah.
Newcastle United's remaining 10 fixtures this season. We'll run through each and every one since the international break. We'll come back fresh. Hopefully the lads will. They're enjoying bloody Dubai at the minute. Nice and sunny out there.
Where
nice?
Yes,
in the brewery. It's actually quite warm in the brewery for Tuesday.
I was going to say, it's freezing this brewery, but quite
warm in this. But it's getting mailed outside as well, which is nice. It's getting lighter.
Nice yesterday, wasn't it?
Spring's cool. That was nice,
Really enjoyed
very nice.
I seen a bee.
Did you?
Get stung? I didn't know.
No.
Should look at
Brentford. Brighton, who we played last game of the season. West Ham is the next game, Saturday the 30th, lunchtime kickoff. We've talked about it. It's massive. Mm-hmm. Got to win. Got to close that gap. Will we?
Against West Ham at home, it's a hard one. I don't know. I'm not confident by it. I think West Ham's always been one of them tricky teams. Like, it can literally go anywhere. Like, we've battered them in recent years. I think we've probably got a better record against them away.
I was there this year, and we should have won. Obviously, they scored a late equaliser.
Even in Premier League history, like West Ham's always been one of them teams that could easily finish in the top six or be battling relegation. That just doesn't seem to be any consistency
in one week, they look like a side that is battling relegation, and the next week, they look like a side that should be fifth or sixth.
Yeah,
one week they score 3-4, they win 3-4-1. Next week they get beat 2-0.
The most inconsistent team in Premier League history. This is one of them years where they're having such a good year. Last year was shit for them, the script relegation, but they won a European competition. That's West Ham in a nutshell.
It really
you
is.
Button relegation, but you can win a European competition. West Ham's having a really, really good year. They're above us. Obviously, we're looking to close the gap. We're the ones kind of trying to chase them. So we could potentially be the underdog, particularly in the form that we're in. So, it's not an easy game. I think the last two home game seasons...
Draws.
I think last year was 1-1 or 2-2.
2-2.
I can't remember. I think away we've had a really good record. Callum Wilson absolutely slays them.
Remember last season, he's out when you just stood there, watched a guy.
Yeah.
And hips.
Yeah, we'll batter them away, but I don't know. I think a draw again might be a decent result, but it doesn't really help us in our European charge.
No, it doesn't. Like, we've got to stamp our authority on it.
I think a draw on paper is a decent result, but it's not. If we want to get somewhere, then teams like West Ham with 9 games after that, like, would need to be kind of asserting some dominance and trying to close that gap. A point does absolutely nothing to help that. So, for me, I can see a draw. That's probably going to be my prediction. Maybe it's a 1-1. But yeah, that really doesn't help where we need the 3 points.
I would do like less of the draws. But it makes sense what you're saying, because the last few games at home have been draws. Couldn't beat Bournemouth and Luton.
No, exactly. So, our form's been poor recently.
You know what I mean? At home, we really need to turn it around.
Yeah.
I'm going to bag it.
Yeah, I think that emphasises why this is such a big game, because it's not a guaranteed win, whereas other seasons against West Ham probably have been. You go in as the favourites, but I'm just a bit nervous about this one.
I do. I understand the nerves. I'm feeling them. I'll definitely feel them on the day. Early kickoff as well. Awful. I'm going to go... I'll say we'll win that one, though, 2-1. I'll say we'll sneak that one.
I hope so.
And then following that, guess what? We've got a midweek game against Everton. We never in a million years play them on a weekend.
I'm like, always 3 o'clock on a Saturday for the last 20 years.
It's always 7:45. This week it's 7:30. Oh, remember, we've been to Goodison a couple of times. Every single time, bang, Tuesday night, Thursday night. Yeah, so definitely
Tuesdays and Thursdays, always.
Home and away. I know.
It's always midweek at home as well, but always away.
Aye.
Really annoying, didn't I?
So this one actually is at home. So it's back-to-back home games for Newcastle. It gets 6 points, which will be huge.
Lovely.
In this race, 4th, 6th, 7th, 8th. Goodison Park. We've been there already this season, so now it's the turn of the Toffees to come to the tune. Half 7, Tuesday the 2nd. So again, big few days after Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah.
Big few days. Saturday, Tuesday games.
Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday.
It's like being back in the Champions League.
Really? It's hard to make these midweek games anymore.
Instead of welcoming Dortmund, we're welcoming Everton and Sean Dyche. But that one, phew, that's got to be a win on a Pickford. Can't wait for that. We always like to see Pickford coming to just to win. Dortmund's always a good crack. I'm going to see we have to get that one in.
We've got to, and just to play devil's advocate a bit, like Everton's kind of seemed like a derby because of that Pickford and the sort of Sunderland connection, like without Sunderland in the Premier League, like Everton's kind of always been like a derby, like there's always been that sort of derby atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's always been hostile. It's always been immense. Like, I really enjoy games against Everton home in a way that absolutely class. And I think particularly, obviously, because of the points deduction, that's great in relegation. If without it, they'd be comfortably around about 12th, 13th. So it hasn't really been a bad season for Everton because the last 3 years, 4 years, maybe they've been right on the cusp of relegation without a points deduction. So for them, like minus the points deduction, they're having a decent season. But yeah, they are scraping relegation because of the points deduction. So they'll be fighting for their lives. Like they'll want the 3 points to move them away from the bottom three. Obviously, Forest's point deductions maybe is taking that pressure off them a little bit because now there's a couple of teams between them and the drop zone. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Like I say, it's a derby. It's a team fighting relegation. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy. But theoretically, this is one that we should be winning.
It's got to be a banger, that one.
Like. It should be. Like I say, theoretically, this has to be a win.
Because I'm just looking at the fixtures there towards the end of the season. Oh, no, sorry. Those are the ones that need rearranged, to be fair, aren't they, because of the cup. I was thinking, bloody hell, 3 away games in a row. But it's just because we'll get into them soon. But as it stands, ones that are announced from the so that 3 games in a week there. Saturday the 30th, West Ham at home. Tuesday the 2nd, Everton at home. And then Saturday the 6th of April, 3 p.m. away at the Craven Cottage, where that's not going to be easy either.
No, it's
I'll
not.
Tell you
Fulham's
that
a
now,
really good team now.
Fulham have just smashed Spurs 3-0. Yeah, yeah. That Munez is in great form.
Whoever he is, he's absolutely class.
I came out of nowhere, six goals in 7 games. I think he was on loan to Middlesbrough last year and they made it permanent or something now, but he's there. He's looking like a real number 9, him, like, handful,
yeah,
got a full
got
package.
They've got a few
package.
Good, like is he, some, by his name, I'm guessing he's South American.
I think
I don't know
I'm
where
guessing
he's from,
like Chilean or Mexican or something.
They've got a few of them, like, haven't they, like, Brazilians and Argies. They've got loads of, like, really
Paulinho
good, like, young South Americans. Like, they're a really good team. Tottenham, like, I like, Fulham, like, I like them. I
they are.
Absolutely smashed
Marco
Spurs.
Silva. Some good stuff.
Yeah, so like I said, that's going to be a tricky game. They're having a really good season for themselves, for their own personal standards.
But we did obviously beat them not too long ago in the FA Cup.
We did.
At their place, so that should bode well for us.
It was in the league. We beat them in December, didn't we, as well?
When they went out of 10 men, didn't they?
Twice against them.
Raul Jimenez.
Yeah, 2 wins against them in recent years. So, recent weeks and months. So yeah, hopefully so. But yeah, it's not going to be an easy one.
I'm backing it. 3 wins in a row for me.
Lovely.
West Ham, Everton, Fulham, going for it. Next up, this is one of the toughest ones, if not the toughest. But like we've just said, Fulham beat Tottenham.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got Tottenham on the 13th of April. Another lunchtime kickoff. Strange. Mm. 2 Saturdays, 2 lunchtime kickoffs there.
TNT.
All right, TNT again. We're on TNT throughout those 4 games. Yeah. So Spurs coming to Newcastle. Obviously, we're battered 6-1 last year. What a day that was. One of the
absolutely
best days ever.
Incredible.
Amazing stuff. They obviously can be brilliant on the day, but they can be beaten on the day. Like
very inconsistent.
So the thing is, what we know with that is, Ange Postecoglou, high line for life. They're going to be open. They're going to be attacking.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be entertaining. I'll steer away from the wins. I've done 3 in a row. I'm going to go for a draw against Spurs. And I'll take that all day long, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I'll rat home, but if we got the other wins, I think that would be good enough.
No, yeah, I think I would as well. I think a team as good as Tottenham are, a draw is a good result, but I'd say we absolutely smashed them sort of against their runner player last season. And they are just really, really inconsistent. So, and that's another one that if we won that one, it would kind of be a surprise one because I'd guess that we'd probably go into that game the underdog, even if we did beat West Ham, Everton and Fulham. I don't think we'll go on a three-game win streak against them. I think there's at least a draw among them. But even that's not bad. If we've got 7 out of a possible 9 points against them, 3, I would definitely take that. Tottenham, like I said, they're so inconsistent, home or away. At home, I definitely feel more confident. So that would be a massive 3 points. And yeah, I think we can definitely at least get a draw against them at home. And I think that would be a decent result as well. So if we've got 2 wins and 2 draws out of them, 4, it's not bad.
Not bad.
Could do better. But like I say, if we want to get Europe, we've got a big fight on our hands. So a couple of them draws might feel like losses, but at least there's no L's in that. So
exactly. Yeah. Be hard that though, because obviously Spurs will be pushing for Champions League top 4 still, you would have thought.
Exactly, yeah.
They did humiliate us, to be fair, at White Hart Lane, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this season. But at home, after we battered them last year, I think an entertaining 2-2, 3-3, something like that.
Ooh, sounds good to me.
Next one should be another battering, but for us,
yeah,
loads of goals in this one. I was there, Bramall Lane, 8-0. This time, do it again. St. James's, 27th of April, Saturday so far. To be confirmed, may get moved for TV.
To be confirmed, the time, yeah.
Sheffield United at home. Easy, 3 points. Let's move on. Got to be done.
Then, and we can probably do the next one as Burnley. Well. Burnley away. Yeah. They're just shit.
Yeah. Like, got a big win the other day, didn't they, against Brentford?
They did, to be fair, too late, right? They're just making up the numbers. Like, that's really, really bad Premier League teams. I don't even know what points we're on at the minute. Let's just go back to the league.
40 in it.
14 for Sheffield United, 17 for Burnley. Absolutely abysmal. Terrible, terrible teams.
Back down you go. Back where you belong.
Yeah, they've hopefully, fingers crossed, no upsets, no banana skins with them two, but they've got to be 6 points guaranteed.
See, they're the ones you look at now, and we're sitting here like laughing.
Yeah, exactly. The pace, yeah. Oh, we'll beat them 8-0. Do it again.
Probably draw 0-0 with Sheffield at home. Get beat 1-0 off anyway.
Probably. Chris Wood.
Chris Wood, I think. Go back to Burnley on loan. But no. I'm going to go. So far, we're unbeaten. This run. I've said West Ham, Everton, Fulham, Tottenham. Well, both of us said that, haven't we? I went for a win, you went for a draw against West Ham. But so far, unbeaten.
Mm-hmm.
Brighton at home on the 11th of May. Last home game of the season.
It was a bit of a revenge there after the away game. That was a bit of a shite show.
That was, to be fair, 4 or 5 games in the season, that wasn't it?
It was
3,
four,
maybe.
4, yeah.
3 or 4.
Beat Villa, lost to City, Liverpool, Brighton.
I would just been beaten off Man City. I went there, didn't go to Brighton, and then I remember obviously Evan Ferguson was just on fire, and I don't think he scored since. He's getting really cool, didn't he?
Probably not, no.
Because everyone was like, oh, he's the next Harry Kane, and then he's had a terrible season after he scored his
FIFA
first hat-trick. Any good?
It's absolutely classic.
On the new FIFA?
Nah, 23.
All right. Brighton since then, obviously, roller coaster ride for them, dealing with Europe, dealing with injuries as well.
Yeah.
The series of madness, 1 week they're winning 4-3, 1 week they're getting beat 4-3. So, with Brighton at home, obviously, it was class last year. I remember being Brighton at home last year. Shout out Greg in the Gallagher Lounge, Irish Greg. We were there 4-1, wasn't it? Bruno did the Arthur celebration as well.
It's 2 late goals, wasn't it?
And that pretty much guaranteed Champions League, didn't
it?
Well, that night we're like, ah, it's done now.
Because we were 2-1 and they were pushing, they were pressing us for an equaliser, and we got the 2 late goals, and like 4-1 on paper, we absolutely smashed them. But it wasn't that easy.
It was screwing home at 1 point.
But the atmosphere for the 3rd and 4th goal was absolutely insane.
Yeah. So that one, Brighton, that's going to be one of the hardest games as well, to be fair, because they will cause us problems. I'm going to see a draw on that one, you know. I'm going to see a draw.
I would take a draw against Brighton because they are a very, very good team. They're just above us in the league, 8th with 42 points, 2 ahead of us, 2 places on 2 points ahead of us. And after the away absolutely battering, then, you kind of take them lightly. Very, very good team, even at home. So, yeah, I think a draw's a good point.
Decent enough. Brentford away is the last game of the season. We'll talk about it in a second because obviously we've got 2 games that need rescheduling due to the FA Cup. We've got Man United at Old Trafford and Palace at Selhurst Park. Palace we should have played last week when we got Man City, but obviously we're progressing the Cup. So let's talk about Palace first. Palace away, that always seems to be a draw for us.
It is. They're
always an awful
game.
They're
another very inconsistent team, but
new manager now.
The most likely seem that sort of 11th to 14th brackets, like them sort of 3-4 places just seem to be theirs.
Table FC.
Yeah, but they, on their day, they can beat anybody or get absolutely battered by anybody. Like, they're just such an inconsistent, unpredictable team. I think that's a difficult one to predict, but we've got to fancy ourselves. Where are they? 14th in the league. Yeah, it's not, the like I say, 11th
to 14th. You're just saying it,
mate. Yeah, it's their sort of bracket. But yeah, we've got to win, home or away. Yeah, they're not a fantastic team. Nah. So yeah, I think we could get a win there.
I'm actually going to say a draw because it's always a draw.
Well,
I've been a couple of times yeah. And it's always a draw. It's just a stinking place to go. And I think Glasner has a good appointment for them as well, by the way. You know, he won Europa League with thingy, didn't he? Yeah,
but they're one of them teams that you always fancy yourselves against because they're not a great team. They never really have been. They're just a bang average, sort of mid-table, bottom half team that you go up against and think, tiny Crystal Palace will beat these. But then, secondly, it's a 1-1. Right. It's a frustrating game. They frustrate the hell out of you. And they've had some decent players in the past. They've got a couple. They had Zaha, like Elise and Eze, really, really good players.
Exactly. Yeah, depends on their fit, doesn't it?
Not an easy team. Now, like I say, they've got a good manager. So definitely not an easy game. But it's one of them where you fancy the win. Got to get the 3 points, but it's easier said than done.
Two games to go then. Obviously, that Man United one is going to be midweek now at Old Trafford because of them getting through the semi-final of the FA Cup.
Wangers!
So, that one midweek, that may help us, obviously, them getting through the FA Cup because they'll probably be looking at that. Well, that's their last chance of winning a trophy this year. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get top four. They will get fifth or sixth. Obviously, fifth could be big for them if Champions League does get fifth, so we'll still have that. But I think that could play in our hands, it being midweek. I was there midweek a few months ago in the Carabao when our C team went there. And absolutely...
Grafton, don't let their back.
That was a great night. Could we do the same again? I'm going to keep the unbeaten run going and say that one's going to be a draw.
Again, a way you take that. So since the cup final, we've had a really good record against Man United. It's like we've been in pure revenge mode. Like we've absolutely like obliterated them. Like in league, I think we beat them 2-0 in the league just a few weeks after the cup final.
We beat them this year. Was it 1-0, Gordon?
Beat them one. Was it 1-0?
Or was it more than one? Remember, Gordon definitely opened the scoring.
Yeah, we beat them anyway. I can't remember what the score was, but I know for a fact that we beat them. And we beat them in the cup and all. So yeah, we're 3 on the bounce against them. Like, they're just really not a good team. I mean, credit for them for getting through to the semi-final of the FA Cup, beating Liverpool. I watched them, was it last week or the week before, against Everton, and they were absolutely shit.
Aye.
Like, they won 2-0 because of two penalties, and there were Stonewall penalties now, to be fair. Everton were their own worst enemies in that game.
Well,
that's
someone then, please, Everton, on Tuesday night.
But the were just absolutely awful. They're really, really not a good team. And I can see why the frustration's there. Like, they've always been whinging about their owners and the manager and whatever. And prior to our takeover, they were saying, we've got the worst owners in the league. It's like, mate, hold my beer. Yeah. There's absolutely no way you've got the worst owners in the league when we've got Mike Ashley. But now we've got our owners, then you can say, they're a bit shit. Like, you're probably not wrong. I think a draw away in the league's a good result, but I really, really think we can beat them.
Yeah.
I really don't think they're a very good team at the moment.
No, they're not. The only thing with Man United is, and you've seen against Liverpool, I think Liverpool could have been out of sight. I mean, I remember that, especially that point where there was 5-on-2 and Gakpo missed the wrong pass, and then obviously Man U get a late equaliser and go on to win an extra time. But I think it's games that Man United turn up in. I think games against us, hopefully we can get the job done. We're going to have to take your chances, like, because Man United will make chances. Mm-hmm. Rashford, Garnacho, and that, the Os, Bruno Fernandes, they've still got game-winning players they had, I think. But a draw there would be a great result. That would take us into the last game of the season, 19th of May, on a Sunday, sunny Brentford, who, to be fair, now are in real relegation trouble. Yeah. They have slipped right down the league. They're lucky that all these teams around them are getting points deducted.
Literally, yeah.
Because they would be honestly in the thick of it. They still are. They're only 4 points. 5 points, is that, above the relegation zone?
Yeah, so they're 5 points ahead of Forest, who's obviously had 6 points.
Still, they're only 1 point above the relegation zone, aren't it?
And then, they're 1 point ahead of Everton, who obviously had a 6 point deduction. So, yeah, if it wasn't for Everton and Forest getting points deducted, they'd be right in the thick of it.
17 for 65. Yeah. So, that one there, I think we'll go there and win. Yes,
yeah,
it could be different because of the right in the mix of a relegation battle. They'll be, with all playing hard out. Tony will have won against us, as always. But I am going to say we'll go there and win. So, to be fair, out of the 10 games remaining, unbeaten, according to me. We're going to be doing a fire. Make it top four at this point. How many points is that?
I mean, it's extremely real.
We haven't got beat once there. Do you know what I mean? If I went too optimistic.
I think definitely. Like, especially, like, obviously, like, got West Ham, Tottenham,
Man U, Brighton's the big ones.
Man U, Brighton, yeah. They're the big games. Like, say you take a point against them. If you beat the rest, which is realistic.
I have put draws for them ones.
I think Everton can beat tricky team. Same with Fulham and Palace. But Sheffield United and Burnley got the beat. Brentford got the beat. Like,
I think at home to Brighton, we should win. Even though I went with a draw, which wouldn't be bad. But it's Tottenham, Man U, where you could easily replace those two draws I've said with two defeats, to be fair.
Mm.
But the other team, if you do enough... If you beat West Ham, Everton at home, Burnley away, Brentford away, Palace, yeah, there's enough points there where I think, like I said, plenty to play for. And on the basis of my predictions, we will still get European football. I said at the start of season 7th, I'm going to stick the 7th now.
I would take that, yeah, especially from where we are now for how kind of disappointing the league season's been, just solely sticking on the league. We're not talking about the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup or the Champions League. League form has been really, really disappointing based on last season as well. Like, when he lost 4 games, were either the best or second best defensive team in the league. This season, that's just kind of all gone to pot a little bit. It's like, we've lost way more games. Like, how many have we actually lost? 11 games?
And obviously, the goals against is awful this year, isn't it?
Yeah, compared to the... Oh, hang on. No. 12 games, actually. That was the goal difference. We've lost 12 games, won 12, like compared to last season. Like, yeah, it's just a big disappointment that we're even in that situation. Obviously, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, there's reasons for that. So I'm not too downhearted by it because I know that there's reasons that explain it. But it is just disappointing to look at we're in 10th, having to battle your Wolves and your West Hams and your Brightons to even get Conference League.
Mm.
It's not a great look. So. No. But yeah, like we've just dissected each game there, and that is the maximum possibility that we could go unbeaten, even if there's 3 or 4 draws in there. You take them as long as you keep getting points and not losing points.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think 7th's a really, really good place to be where we Definitely. Are right now. So yeah, I would absolutely snap your hand off for 7th right now.
I think Eddie Howe made the point as well. You know, he reiterated the fact that the season's still very much ongoing and there's a lot to fight for. And he mentioned, you know, any form of European football he was asked, he agreed that would be a success. So
yeah,
getting 6th to 8th would be for me. And he said,
yeah.
The main thing is that people who are writing the season off now, it affects next season because Eddie Howe is saying, you know, we want to breed confidence and want to build momentum and take that next year.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's so important. That imagine if we did go unbeaten for the next 10 games, or even if we didn't, we lost to Man U, Spurs, whatever, won 6 out of 10 or whatever, got top 8, top 7, then going into the summer, going into next year, gives you a bit of confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah,
3 or 4 signings, then you can definitely. Start flying again. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So
even if we finished 8th and then the Conference League can like knock down the 8th, like that's fine.
Aye.
Absolutely take that. Like I say, it gives you a little bit more confidence and like I said before, like, the Conference League is a bit of like a B-Tech competition. Not many people really want to play in there, but at least it's European football and yeah. At least there's intent there. Like you're still going to be able to attract European level players. Like, and as a bit of, if someone was playing Champions League, it's a bit of a drop down, but
selling the project now, don't you?
Exactly. Like it's better than out.
Aye. Well, much better than out because the worry for me is if we don't get European football, I think that'll hugely affect the likes of Bruno and Isak.
Yeah,
they'll want European football. If you said to Bruno, "Oh, do you want to play Thursday nights in the Conference League? Or do you want to sit at home?" You're like, "No, I want to win a European trophy."
Absolutely, yeah.
And now it's not the Champions League. He came from
Champions League at Lyon, like, and that was one of the goals and the ambitions. Like, he took a risk. He was the first major one, like maybe other than Trippier, to take that risk to leave a Champions League quality team, top 3, top 4 team in the French league, to come to relegation battle in Newcastle. But had long-term vision of getting to the Champions League, and he didn't know it was going to be last year. No. Like it could have been this year, could have been next year. Like he was in it for the long-term vision, part of that plan. But yeah, like now he's had a taste for it. So he's played it at Lyon, played it at Newcastle. If we don't have any form of European football, like Isak as well, he's been there, done that.
Like yeah. Gordon, Botman, they'll all want European football,
Of course, and especially now, like having tasted it, like beating PSG, you're going to want that feeling again, aren't you?
And the thing is that we'd actually have a solid chance of going far in the Europa League or the Conference League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We really would, especially Conference League.
I think we'd win that. Well. Like, absolutely.
I think we should. If we were in that.
If West Ham can do it, we can do it.
Exactly. And imagine the scenes that these people that are kind of, it's blowing my mind, these people who are, and they'll be in the comments now, who will be like, ah, nah, I didn't want Conference League. Fuck the Conference League off. Are you mad? We haven't won a trophy in 16 years?
Yeah, before last World fucking Winelli Championship.
I know. Can you imagine if we actually won the Conference League and it's a European trophy. It's still a major trophy.
Yeah.
And the celebrations on the streets of Newcastle and how many people, us included, and people that are in the 50s and 60s, haven't seen us ever win a trophy. You're telling me you don't want a chance to win one on a Thursday night?
It's the same as people slagging off the Carabao Cup, because I know...
Until you get there.
In like the early sort of 2010s, I think it lost its magic because you had like the likes of like Bradford City and Birmingham won it. Bradford City were in the final against, was it Swansea? Swansea beat Bradford City and Birmingham beat Arsenal. And it kind of became like less important. I think your big team started to not care about it as much, which opened the door for sort of like championship level teams to go out there and win it. And people were kind of relegated it to being like a B-tech paper cup that no one really cared about. But in recent years, like City won it like 3 years in a row, like Liverpool's won it, Man United's won it, and like people actually care about it. People want it now.
Mm.
Like, it's still for me lower than the FA Cup.
Definitely.
If you gave me a choice, put it in both hands, Carabao Cup, FA Cup, I'd take the FA Cup 10 times out of 10.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the Carabao Cup is still a major tournament. It's still a major competition. And if you win it, you're buzzing. Because people were slagging us off when we got to the final, like, oh, look at them at Trafalgar Square. We're celebrating the Carabao Cup. Like, but Man City wanted to win this cup. Liverpool wanted to win this cup. Man United wanted to win this cup.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think the Conference League is like that. Like, yeah, it's not a Champions League and it's not even the Europa League. It's a bit of a tin pot European Cup if you want, but it's still a major European competition.
Totally is. And I'm telling you, these people that are slagging it off or doubting it, if we did get to a final, I guarantee that I'll be absolutely buzzing the tits off.
Aye, absolutely.
Maybe trying to go there, trying to go to the semis, celebrate if we won it, be outside St. James Park on the cans of war beer and that, you know what I mean?
But you can't tell West Ham fans that it's a shit competition.
No, you can't.
Oh, you've won out.
I tell you what, those West Ham fans got better. Would have had an unbelievable night and better memories than us in the last fucking 50 years.
Yeah,
now.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't tell them.
Tell,
oh,
it's a
competition. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a major trophy like West Ham fans. Then fuck off.
You ask Villa fans as well, who have actually won the European Cup in the 80s, I think, wasn't it? You know, which is obviously the Champions League now.
Yeah.
You ask them now, they want to win the Europa League, the Conference League. They want to win the Conference League this year. So, yeah. Anyways, talking of cups then, let's rattle off these before we get into some more Newcastle-native topics. Just flying over these 37 minutes. Shout out to everyone that's tuned in. Please do subscribe and like if you haven't already. And if you listen on Spotify and that, drop a nice little 5-star review and follow us.
Yes.
Who's going to win the cups? And that's well, we'll not talk about Conference League, Tim, partner. We'll rattle through the top three. Champions League?
Champions League.
Obviously some tasty quarter-final ties. Man City, Real Madrid. Arsenal, Bayern Munich.
They are really, really good ties, mate.
Amazing ties.
It's difficult not to favour City, to be honest. Mm. Like they are just so good. Like if everyone's fit and healthy, De Bruyne, Aaron Haaland, Foden's just ridiculous. Like that defence, like Akanji, that is so, so good. Like PSG and Barca, Real City, they're the big ones. Like Atletico Dortmund, that's probably the...
Could have been us, that.
It is, but that's probably the one that people disregard, even though they're still two top-class European-level teams.
Could be an underdog this year, you know, getting four, I think.
Could be. And then you got Arsenal, Bayern as well.
I'd love Dortmund winning, so we could say, oh, well, we got knocked out of the group of death, but we're, you know, they went on to win it.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I think it's just really, really difficult to write off City. I don't know. I think the semi-final, the structure has already been confirmed.
It has. Yeah.
So I don't know. I might just need to quickly Google that. But if it was to be like a City Real final, I think they're the two favourites for me. If that was the final, then it would be class.
Well,
and again, not to really...
It can't be because City Real play in the quarters, isn't it? That's the next game, man.
It is, that's true.
it'll be...
I don't know.
So say it'll be Arsenal City. If be Arsenal City in the semis.
Oh, that's shit.
That's why I'm saying an underdog could win it, because you could have Dortmund versus PSG. Yeah. The group stage all over again in the semis.
I did Google that before and all. It might still be in me history.
But that's how it's looking like. So you could see someone else. Winner of quarterfinal one, quarterfinal two, quarterfinal four. So there you go.
Mm.
Could be Atletico Madrid versus Barca, Spanish final. Could be Dortmund PSG, like the group stages.
Yeah, just difficult to write off Man City.
It really is.
After winning last year. The beat Inter last year, and let's face it, Inter weren't really the best team. They had a really, really good year. Done well to get the Champions League final, but it was always Man City's to win. But if you give them some really, really good opposition, like they'll do well to beat Madrid because they're one of the top teams as well. PSG, Barca, Bayern. There's some competition there, like.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tricky one, but yeah.
For me, I think it's going to be whoever wins between Madrid City. Ovenish.
Because they're like I just said, they're my two favourites. So yeah.
I'm going to, even though there's so many talents Bayern Munich this year, I just think maybe Harry Kane, everyone's laughing. You're not going to, might not win the league as it stands, but imagine if he won.
Imagine that. That would be kind of funny to be fair.
Everyone's like, ah, he's space cased. Can't win the Bundesliga and they've won it 10 years in a row. And he goes, just lift the Champions League instead. At Wembley, innit?
Yeah. So, 12 years in a row, they've won the Bundesliga. This could be their first year without one. Kane and Dyer again out there
spitting it up.
But it would be quite ironic for them to win the Champions League. That'd be quite funny.
I'm gonna say Real Madrid because I just think Bellingham. I just think the heritage, football heritage.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go on Real Madrid to win the Champions League. You, did you see Man City?
Yeah, I'd say City, but I agree with what you said. Real Madrid will probably be my second choice, so it's definitely the winner of that tie. Mm. Whoever goes on to win it, will probably win the whole thing.
And the FA Cup then, Coventry, Man U, Man City, Chelsea remain in that order. They play each other. Oh, imagine Coventry beat Man U. That'd be delightful.
That would be amazing.
That'd be typical of Ten Hag, to be fair.
It would, and I really, really would. I beat Liverpool, get beat off Coventry.
No, that'd be great, that.
But again, City's one of them four.
Man City's going to win it.
I was going to say, if you're putting City up against Real Madrid's, PSG's, Barca's, Bayern's, against Coventry, Man United, Chelsea.
Yeah.
And obviously, they've got Chelsea to get past, and then Man United in the probably Man United in the final if they beat Coventry. So
repeat of last year's final, Manchester final again.
Yeah, I can see it happening. I mean, it probably is, to be fair. Like, you obviously fancy United against Coventry, and then City's obviously going to be the favourites against Chelsea. So most likely going to be a repeat of last year, Manchester Derby FA Cup final, and then just a repeat the City winning it.
Repeat the result, City. On that. So finally, Premier League then. Or City going to win the treble?
For me, they're
going to win the double. I think Man City will win the Premier League and the FA Cup. And, you know, as it stands, they're third. Arsenal top, Liverpool are second. But obviously, there's only 1 point between them. There's a huge game after this international break where Man City take on Arsenal. So that could really be a decider.
That could maybe be the thing that kind of knocks City from winning the treble. I mean, they are probably going to be my favourites. But yeah, because they've got Real Madrid midweek. Like, Liverpool aren't in the Champions League. Arsenal's got Bayern. But it was about this time last year where Arsenal were a good few points ahead and bottled it.
Aye.
But Man City were just steamrolling everyone. Like, it doesn't matter how many points Arsenal drops, Man City were absolutely coming for you. Absolutely no chance that they were stopping. It was like a murder scene. It was like a horror film. They were just absolutely slashing everyone in their way. And I could probably say that happening. Like I say, Arsenal, they bottled it last year, currently top, tied on points with Liverpool, got distractions like Bayern Munich. Liverpool's got not really going for them, so Liverpool should be putting all their eggs into this
they
basket.
Klopp's
final year as well, they'll be going for it for that. So, yeah, I think this could probably be the hardest competition for City to win.
Yeah.
I think the Champions League's probably going to be easier for them to win than the Premier League, but it's City. Right. If Arsenal drop points because they've got midweek fixtures against Bayern Munich, if Liverpool drop points, if City go on the run that they did at the back end of last year to leapfrog Arsenal, there is every single chance that City win the treble. I mean, FA Cup, I think, is the easiest one.
I think it's so hard to call it now because Arsenal are top and Arsenal have looked so good lately.
Yeah.
Flying the goals. It's just when you're caught against City and they've been there, done it, and even Liverpool have been there, done it in recent years, COVID times. That Premier League is so hard to call, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is, how tight it is.
Yeah, where's Liverpool in the Europa League? Forgot
they've
even
got the easiest draw possible. I think at Atlanta.
Is that the quarters?
So they've got a nice route.
They've still got them.
I think they'll win that.
Games.
I think. We'll
oh yeah,
that.
Yeah. You definitely fancy them.
Or this would be delightful. To be fair, by Leverkusen win it.
Ooh,
because
be
obviously
nice.
They want Xabi Alonso. Yeah, he replaced Klopp. Took Klopp's trophy from in the final. I'll take your job. You know what I mean? Classic thing.
That'd be good. I'd like to say that.
But obviously AC Milan as well, who was in our group there. They're still in the Europa League this time, man. It gets real tough.
Yeah,
top teams in there. Right then, let us know in the comments who you think will win the cups this season. Obviously, still a long way to go, even though 10 games left in the league, loads of twists and turns.
As a wise man once said, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Who said that?
Dewey Finn.
I thought it was Warren Barton.
Ned Schneebly.
Happy birthday, Warren Barton, actually. Fan of the channel. Had them on before. Birthday. Right then. We mentioned that Newcastle's fixtures there. We talked through them and stuff. But there is actually two other games at the end of the season. Toon are going down under.
Oh,
Australia.
Yeah. G'day, mate.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out here. And deck in Melbourne with the rest of the squad. Mm-hmm. Because the club have officially announced now that they will be travelling to Australia end of May. 3 days after that Brentford game, they are going over Australia.
So that's soon.
It's not part of the pre-season tour, obviously.
Not
it's
around.
The end of season tour. It's a commercial revenue stream. That's all it is. That's all they're doing it for. Make some money, grow the brand.
That'll be fun.
And that'll be knackered, though. And some of them obviously won't even be going because a lot of them will be getting ready for the Euros.
21 team, won't it? Yeah.
They're going to come up against Tottenham, who we've mentioned a lot.
Not be playing their best players.
They're coming up against the A-League All-Stars team, which, I mean, who the hell is in that? So
it's Tim Cahill playing, is he?
Hi, Tim Cahill, Grant Quayle, Harry Kewell.
To be fair, Quayle should be getting some game time.
Should be, eh?
Like, that's a perfect game for him to actually show his worth. Like, pre-season starts early for Quayle. I think that'd be a good opportunity for him playing in front of his hometown crowd. Yeah.
But I think, obviously, the best thing to come out of this, I know we've got a lot of fans here, followers that are watching from Australia. It's great to see that they'll be able to watch the tune in the flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing. Obviously, Newcastle, like they did in America last year, trying to grow the club, grow
growing
the fan base, grow commercially, everything else that helps with it. But it's just the timing for me. I thought, now they had a pre-season tour.
I didn't even really read into it. Like, it came out like last night, so I didn't really like read into it, to be fair. But I just thought it'll just be like a pre-season friendly, one of them, innit? I thought that was the... I didn't really read into it that much.
Well, you think it would be the pre-season tour around July time or something?
I thought that was going to be our like American tour last year, pre-season. But I didn't even read into the date, so I didn't even realise that. Like,
literally
that
flying...
doesn't make sense.
From the Brentford game, straight on a 21-hour flight to Australia.
Yeah, that's a bit rash, that. Like,
for about 4 or 5 days, for two games.
But that's the only thing that I can imagine. It probably is, unfortunately, for you Aussie fans out there listening... you're probably going to be watching like the under-21s. Like your key players aren't going to be playing, especially those going into the Euros.
Yeah.
Most of the Premier League players are going to be knackered. Most of them's probably already booked the holidays. They're probably already...
You'll be foaming them. I've got Barbados.
That's what I mean. They'll be foaming. Like the day after Brentford, they'll be like, I'm getting older.
Wife's kicking off. Took the kids, left.
I'm going to Australia. This is pre-season, baby. I can't imagine any... key senior players playing, if any. Some of them will be going to the Euros. Most of them just come off a long, hard season. Like,
if over 50 games we would have played by the time we do that.
I cannot imagine we're having like what best squad there. I think it's going to be majority like under 21s.
And there is going to be a huge chance of a real big sellout for this one if they can do it, because the stadium holds about 100,000 people.
Yeah.
That cricket ground's got like 100,000 capacity, something 90,000. we've got Geordie Revolution there saying that 100 fans, MCG holds over 120,000. Wow, mad. That's insane.
Hopefully it sells out. Fingers
hopefully
crossed.
Hopefully it does,
aye. Hopefully that international fan.
We'll have to be staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch it.
Absolutely
watch
not.
Not going to watch what we got in Dwayne in front of Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm alright for that one. Thanks.
We're alright for that one, but it's
I've got something on that day.
It's a sign of times to come, though. Doing shit like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, and if we want FFP, you got to push the gap. Yeah. That's why Spurs are doing it.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
I think I see it's good for the fans out there who are going to watch them in the flesh.
We're wanting to be one of them like worldwide brands. Like, that's how Chelsea's are spending ridiculous money in the transfer window, because they've got international popularity.
Mm.
Like Man United and Liverpool's been one of the two biggest international brands for decades now. Like, that's why they're so big and popular. It's our turn, baby.
Our turn, man. So it is the international break. We've took long enough to try not to talk about it, 49 minutes, because I know how much you don't like international football. But have you seen the New England kits?
I have, yeah.
What do you think of them?
Not too bad. I think they're all right.
Very different, the away one, isn't it? It's causing a bit of stir.
Is it?
Purple. Little patterns down there.
Is
everyone's like, whoa, where's the red kit gone? we're England. Where's the purple on the St. George's flag? Like, you know, like we've had blue kits before. And like,
I was going to say, it looks more navy to me. I didn't really inspect it that closely, but we've had navy kits before. So that's why
astronaut. That's on the wall there that no one can see. So that's pointless me. I just think you got an idea.
That's why I didn't really think now of it, because I thought it was navy and we've had them kits before. So yeah, if it's purple, then yeah, that is a little bit weird.
It is. But some part of it, I can't even mind it whether I like the away one or not. The badge looks alright. I like the material on the kits.
Looks nice, yeah.
It's got like that really retro feel about the home one. I think it's nice the way
it
won.
I feel like every kit since about 2006 has just been
pretty boring.
Yeah, they're just like white. Aye. Like they've just got no like pattern on it. Like the, was it 2002? You had like the St. George's cross.
Oh, it was quality.
2004, you had like the little one on the shoulder.
Loved the little one on the shoulder. Yeah. Even the remember the little buttons, reversible job.
Little yes,
buttons, reversible
yes,
job.
Yeah,
that was quality.
So,
yeah.
So I think since about 2006, every time like an England kit's released, it's just like, that's just a plain white kit.
Yeah,
just
even you know, the little 02 Beckham against Greece, the stripe of the red.
Yeah.
There's stuff that made it a bit different.
So from like the 90s through like 2006 or something, like England kits were nice, but since about 2006, I just haven't really been asked by them. They're just plain and white and boring. Like.
Could be worse though. It could be, I don't know. The France one's quite nice, but have you seen the badge? I don't know why it looks so fake. It's
color,
massive,
right?
The badge.
Like,
it's
like the star, like the... Is it roses? Whatever.
But they've just like made the France logo huge, so it looks like it's straight from Turkey.
Oh, the France one. Oh, no.
And it just looks like the Nando's logo, big time.
Oh, does it?
Proper Nando's FC, France. Like,
I've seen Victor Wembanyama wearing it.
So those are the kits anyway. Drop in the comments what you think of them. I like the home one, undecided on the away one. This Saturday, we'll get to see Bruno... the Gordon at Wembley, Brazil, going against England on Saturday in a little friendly. I mean, as far as friendly goes, it should be a decent one. He's not playing bloody Macedonia or some crap we had. Well, you will see some talent, and obviously you'll be cheering on Gordon, hopefully.
Yeah, that's kind of why like I'm not really that arsed about international football. Obviously, major tournaments, I love it, and I'm behind them just as much as anyone else. But friendlies normally let you play like your Macedonias and your Andorras and San Marinos and just all these shite teams and you scrape like a 1-0 win or something against just Jordan Henderson and say, what?
Please no. What? Kobe Mainoo's been called up today.
Yes, he has. But I'd say Brazil and Belgium, very, very good teams.
Tough tests.
Yeah, very, very tough tests. And I think it's a good Euros warm-up. Hopefully this is sort of like an indication of what the Euros squad could be. Hopefully not, because there's some players that probably shouldn't still be there. But... yeah, at least these should be entertaining regardless of the result. Like I said, at least they're good teams and not just shite warm-up games.
Exactly, aye.
Just can't really be asked today.
Even though for the official Euro warm-up games, one of them being at St. James Park on the 3rd of June, we picked a nice opponent in Bosnia and Herzegovina just to get the confidence up. Do you know what I mean? That's what you want.
But that's the thing. It's not. Like,
false confidence.
Normally these things, they are. It's like
smash them 6-0, we're going to win it.
It's like the longest yard. Like what Adam Sandler's idea, saying, "Oh, like you get like a tune-up game. You just play some absolute shit team, and you absolutely smash them. Get your confidence up. Like that's what England sort of kind of typically do, but you don't
do every time. Every time we do that,
it's like 2-1 or 1-0. Like you don't smash them.
We literally went to the Euros in 2016. Yeah. We went to the stadium of shape because that's where the warm-up game
Australia.
Was.
Australia
1-2-0. Played against Australia, I think 5 or 6 a day, like lads. 2-0. And then we played Jamaica." In one of the warm-up games. Peter Crouch, robot, I think that's what that was. I think we did smash it, to be fair. But again, World Cup didn't go well. Tournament didn't go well. That false sense of security, it's not really working well. But I'm all here for it. I will be there on Monday the 3rd of June. So hopefully we do get to see Gordon on Saturday. I think more chance of seeing him against Belgium on the following game, to be fair. Like,
well, it's a friendly. It doesn't really matter win or lose. It's just kind of like Euro warm-ups, like pre-Euro warm-ups. Like, so, yeah, it doesn't really count for now.
Tell you what did count.
What did count?
Was the lasses. Well done, Newcastle United women, for a brilliant comeback last weekend. 2-0 down against Wolves. 3-2 winners. A sign of true champions, that right there.
It really is. Yeah.
It was a fantastic comeback by the girls, and obviously this weekend they head to Kenilworth Road on Saturday
for the final
of the League Cup there against #United.
Yeah,
good luck, lasses. Really hope they bring the trophy home.
Yeah, well done to them. And, I think this is like a sign of where the takeover has gone, because they haven't just focused on the men's team, they've put a lot into the women's team as well. As when they took over, they're in the fourth tier of women's football.
Having to pay for the babes, training, and everything.
Yeah, they weren't professional. Now, they are professional in the top of the third tier, getting ready for promotion to the second tier, and they're in a cup final.
Amazing.
So, yeah, like the men's team, they took were from the bottom three, almost guaranteed championship team to Champions League within 18 months. Mm-hmm. The women's team gone from fourth tier to second tier in a cup final within 2 years. Right? Yeah, the movements are there. So, yeah, well done, lasses.
Yeah, very well done. And again, it's a great sign of the ownership, how they've took the women's game seriously for me, build up. Because remember, I know if people might not be a fan of women's football and everything, you've still got old school people who aren't going to watch it and that. But if the women do well, everyone does well. It does well for the club because that helps towards financial fair play as well.
One roof, like the Newcastle United isn't just the men's team. Obviously, you've got like your kids, your academy, the under-21s, the women's
everyone
team.
Do
like,
well.
Yeah, absolutely everyone. But I was just going to make a point. Oh, yeah, they weren't even properly connected, were they? Like the women's team ran separately.
Officially associated with the club.
Newcastle United. They just kind of held the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Amanda Staveley and everyone like brought them under one roof, like Toys R Us.
Toys R Us.
Yeah. They made them officially part of the Newcastle United brand, and they made them professionals. They're starting to get paid now. They haven't got to pay their subs. And yeah, now they're close to being one division under the WSL, and they're in a cup final.
So, exactly. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, man, I see we made the point that the aim was to get them in the Champions League as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what how good would that be? Get women's nights under the lights at St. James Park Champions League as well. We've seen how good the attendance is always on these second and third division games. So, unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
And nailed on for promotion. Pretty much the girls now. A couple more wins should do it. So, happy days. Look forward to that.
That's winners' mentality. Like, say, they were 2-0 down, three late goals. Like that's what winners do. That's like Man City last year.
Aye. Getting them positions, but turn it around.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. Good luck for Saturday, girls. Hopefully, bring a trophy back to the tune from Stinky Luton. two more topics. Big ones as well, to be fair. Steve Bruce today has came out and back Mike Ashley again. Saying, you know, obviously with loads of controversy lately around Steve Bruce, I've did a couple of videos on it. So you can watch them back if you haven't seen them, where Amanda Staveley said you didn't want to come to work. And then now she backtracked on that, apologising for that. Wonder why. and then now Steve Bruce has came out, not related to Amanda Staveley. The comments, they are all about Mike Ashley saying, oh, a very well-run club. Do you mean never would have went bust under Ashley, totally under FFP and all that. So again, he just keeps on bigging up Mike and keeps on waffing his big old mouth when he just thinks, Steve, can you not just enjoy that 8 million and shut up, please, and just sail off into that golf course sunset that you've been enjoying?
You've had another pair from West Brom and all. Shut up, man.
Honestly,
just
man,
To be fair, I haven't even seen these comments. Like, this is news to me.
You the money.
Nah.
Basically, you're just saying how great Mike Ashley was. Solid owner. Might not have spent much, but you know, best interests at heart.
It clearly wasn't. You weren't the best interest at heart. No. Mike Ashley hired you because he knew you were going to be easy.
Fact, like, yes, man.
Rafa wanted far too much.
No, fact.
By far too much, he had the club's best interest at heart, and that was far too much for Mike Ashley. So he hired a yes man, someone that was lucky to be there.
Jim Kerry.
Plucked you out from, was it 10th in the championship? I think he got Sheffield Wednesday the season before, and that was his level. That was his best mid-table championship at that time, was Steve Bruce's best level. Like, you were lucky to be there. And Mike Ashley plucked you out from there and plopped you into the Premier League at your hometown club because you thought you would love it, and you're just lucky to be there. Like, I've gave you an opportunity. Yes, sir. Three bags full, sir. How much, sir? That was Mike Ashley. That was Steve Bruce and Mike Ashley's relationship. Like, you were just lucky to be there because you didn't deserve it.
No, he didn't at all. Maybe that's why he's so thankful to him. Like, cheers, Mike. Anyone else would have got a job? if I got a job, my boss was just like straight in. Do you want to win this promotion? Do you want a few million a year?
You're one of them promotions for new reason.
I'll tell you what, that bloke's a legend.
You're absolutely shit at your job, but he has a better one for a lot more money.
And then again, when he got sacked, you've been sacked for being absolutely crap at your job. But don't worry. He has several million pounds to enjoy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But that's why Mike actually didn't move on from anyone, because I think you would have sacked Rafa if he could afford to.
I would have.
Because I think that was just so much of a dispute there. I think Mike actually would have just quite happily wiped his hands with them, but he would have had to pay him off.
Mm.
And same with Steve Bruce. Like, I remember during lockdown, we were doing the watch-alongs. Every week there'd be comments from people saying, I hope we'll lose this game because Steve Bruce might get sacked. Like, you're deluded.
He's not.
It's not going to happen. Like, stop wishing your team to lose, first and foremost.
Aye.
Like, if you support a team, just be happy that they've won, regardless of the owner. But if we lose, if we got beat 97-0, Steve Bruce is still in a job. Mm. There's no way Mike Ashley's going to sack him, because A, he's going to have to pay him out, and B,
anyone else to put up with it?
Exactly. So I knew fine well that Mike Ashley wouldn't sack Steve Bruce. The only way Steve Bruce was going to leave would be at the end of his contract or a takeover.
Yeah. Thankfully, the takeover happened.
Exactly.
Got people there, Kenny there, saying, Brucey was saying in his interview as well, that fans in the street told him that they loved him.
You're lying! You're absolutely lying! That did not happen.
That never happened.
That did not happen. If they did, they were just being nice. They just wanted a selfie. So they're like, oh, I love you, Steve. Oh, yeah, dead class manager. I used to... Oh, they were just being massively sarcastic.
I know. From sarcasm.
You're classy, Steve.
Brucey, cheers for the great work you're doing. Steve's one of me.
Yeah, dead good.
Cheers, mate.
Aye, you're doing dead good. Keep it up, Steve.
Fuck yeah, now. Honestly, who was that you bumped into the street? Steve, you fucking man. Do you know what I mean? Like, who was saying that you've done a good job? Was your brother, was your son taking your dog for a water?
Some smackhead on Spice that didn't even know you.
That's what it was. It was a homeless bloke that Brucey gave 25 pence to. Cheers, Steve. Cracking job, you did.
Aye, they're good. Give it up.
Cheers for the space, Brucey. God, it's Peter saying he's doing a good job.
That did not happen.
Maybe McNamara would have been saying that to him. Doing a great job, Brucey.
Keep it up, Steve.
Keep it up, Stevie.
Keep it going, Stevie.
Oh, God. Right then. The last discussion here I want to go on for a good 5-10 minutes on this one is the talk of Longstaff to Leeds United. This has been the rumour mill the past day or so. Leeds United preparing a bid for the Geordie midfielder of around £15 million if they get promoted. Leeds are currently sitting top of the Championship and are eyeing up the Geordie to spearhead their campaign next year back in the Premiership. Now, we have talked a little bit on previous podcasts about Sean Longstaff, but now it's really relevant because, again, he was getting criticised after the Manchester City performance and his way out of his depth. Again, more people are saying, you know, he's a passenger. He goes missing. He's a waste of his shirt, people were saying. I had people saying, you know, he should be down to 10 men with Longstaff because he's that bad. Now that Leeds are looking at him, Leeds weighing up a £15 million bid for him, would you sell him? And again, get in the comments, keep our sell on this one. Would you get rid of Longstaff for £15
million? Well, we did speak about this in episode 7 last week, and I think this is kind of slap bang in the middle of our valuations. Like, you said you would sell him for 7.
And forgot about that.
Yeah, and I was a little bit more optimistic just because of he's in a really, really bad run of form, and it's actually came out since then that he's been having injections. He has been injured.
That's true.
So he has been playing through injuries. So I think when he's fit and healthy and in form, I think he is an invaluable player for Newcastle. I think he is just one of them players that just gets the job done. It's not pretty. It's very gritty. It's sometimes shitty. Sometimes he just gets the job done. And I think that kind of player is invaluable. Sometimes the ones that kind of go under the radar. That's technically a bit of that, isn't it?
I like that. I enjoy that. Good rhyming.
Yeah. So poetry. Are kind of overly optimistically, and I'll hold my hands up to that and say I overly optimistically valued it around about 20 to 25. But 15...
25 for Longstaff, I'd be fucking pussy.
Yeah, I did agree with that as well. Like, it was a bit, I was shooting for the stars a little bit there. So maybe he's 20. You said 7, I said 20. This is sort of...
We're in the middle, yeah. Leeds have been watching.
I think 15 is kind of realistic. And I think we're both agreed for squad depth. I wouldn't get rid of him because I think he is one of them players who can step in and knows Newcastle. Nobody knows Newcastle as well as Longstaff does. So I'd with a heavy heart, sell him. But yeah, 15 million, that's probably a true valuation. And for FFP, we need to sell players. And if he is overvalued at 15 million, then you've got to take it, haven't you?
I think so. I think 50 million is fair. I forgot I said 7. That's probably harsh. I might have been angry at the time. I think we'll have Eddie Howe has came out and said that he has been playing with injections. He has been injured for quite some time. He's struggling, but he's playing his heart out because he loves the club, that type of thing. You know, they don't realise what goes on behind the scenes is what he said about much effort the likes of Longstaff are putting into to carry on. And I didn't doubt that either. I don't doubt it. Sean Longstaff, he's one of our own. And he is. He's one of us. He's a Geordie. He's from Shields. Great. But I said in the Man City reaction, you know, we need to stop picking players based on birth certificates. I don't even care if he's from Shields anymore. I'm not going to start Sam Fender because he's from Shields. You know what I mean?
But for
Brucey was one of our own. He's from Moore's End. I'm from Moore's End. He's from Moore's End.
And like Paul Dummett, who's just taking up a space in the squad for no reason. Like, yeah. I think there's more people ahead of Sean Longstaff I would rather get rid of.
And obviously the main one is Tonali, who can't play, so that's the most annoying thing.
Yeah, but some of the players that you need to get rid of aren't really worth now. It's like you had Dummett's and your Richies, like Mark Gillespie's, Loris Karius, even Emil Kraft. I think Kraft's underrated and just signed a new contract, but you're not going to get 15 million for an Emil Kraft. And Dubravka, you probably wouldn't get 10 million for him because of his age. Yeah. So 15 million, it's a good offer. I think it is a good offer. And like I say, for FFP reasons more than anything, I would love to keep him around for squad depth. I think he could be a good part of our future. If we are going to develop and maintain a top four, top six level, having someone like a Sean Longstaff in the squad, even if it's low down, I think it would be a nice sentiment. More sentiment than I feel like Dummett, who's been sticking around for the last two, three, four years due to sentiment alone.
Two games a season.
Yeah, so I'd rather keep Longstaff than Dummett, but no one else is going to be getting any more than 10 million value for them kind of at the bottom of the roster chart. Like even Murphy, I didn't really know what Murphy would be worth, but let's say 15 million, it's not a bad offer, and it could go a long way in terms of FFP.
Now, you're right in terms of squad depth for me, because if we do get Europa League or Conference League, and we're playing Thursday night European football, then yes, a Longstaff, especially in the group stages, would be ideal for that. Do the nitty gritty shit in the middle of Slovenia, right? Having shit in Slovenia on a Thursday night, me and him in budget hotels, hostels. But I tell you what, I would have him there, because then, say, if you were playing, I don't know, a Karabag, who actually are doing that, right? Now you beat Bayer Leverkusen. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing there, the first thing that sprung to mind, if you're playing them, or you're playing buddy FK Mulder or something on a Thursday night, right? And then you've got Man City on Saturday, you think, right, I tell you what, Joe Linton, Tonali, like, you're rested. Sean, get yourself in, son.
And you do a job.
And there you go.
Yeah.
That's his role. Absolutely. Know your damn role. As The Rock used to say.
Even maybe it's Miley or something along stuff, and Miley in the middle of the park.
Exactly. Yeah. So, fine. But at the same time, if Leeds come in with £50 million, then that's a good offer. I think that's a solid offer. You could even...
Solid starting offer.
Exactly. I was just about to say, you could even try and niggle a bit more. Yeah. Even if you said 15, rising to 20. 20 due to add-ons, appearances, something like that. You know, like, that's a great deal for me.
Yeah.
Because again...
If there's add-ons and like incentives and stuff that could make it rise above that, they say, even if you try to haggle, say 16 with 4 million in add-ons, yeah, you've got to take that.
You've got to take that. Because again, let's be honest, when Tonali is back next year and Willick's back to fitness, then you know that the midfield, obviously, hopefully Bruno and that stay, we'll get into his future in a minute. Bruno, Julian and Tonali, or Willick, Bruno, Tonali, you know, Longstaff's not going to be starting. Miley will be ahead of him.
Yeah, he will be.
So... Anderson? He's not going to be starting. Yeah, he'll be on the bench. So if you can get 15 to 20 million for a bench player, then you take that. And he's obviously homegrown, so that helps financial fair play.
Yeah.
So that's what you kind of have to do. Look, Man City didn't want to sell Cole Palmer to Chelsea because he was homegrown.
Yeah, wait.
But that helped them massively.
Homegrown players.
It helped them massively doing that.
You need to have that quota. Newcastle don't have that problem. We've got loads of English players, English and British players. So we don't have that homegrown quota. Like, we could qualify for... It's like Champions League, you need to have so many like homegrown players and stuff, and even in the Premier League, Man City have just invested a lot in foreign players, so they've had to have that like sort of British quota. But we've still got like your Dan Burns, Longstaff, Gordon, Miley, Anderson. Like, we've got a ton of English players, Lascelles, Pope. Like, we don't have that problem.
No. I put it out on social media. It was a very strong majority were saying sell, because I did put keep or sell on the tweet and on Instagram. You can check it out on the Magpie channel. I would say it was a good 80%, if not more, were saying sell at that price of 15 price, million to Leeds United. We've got the live comments now on YouTube. Aaron saying I'll drive Longstaff to Leeds myself. Anthony says good move for Sean and for us, which I think
it
is.
Fair.
I think Leeds United,
especially
if they
got promoted.
Big club, very good team. I think that's a great move for him.
Very good team, especially if they are in the Premier League. Like, yeah, I wouldn't wish him on the championship. I think he's better than that. But yeah, a newly promoted team, such a massive club like Leeds, like, I think it'd be a really, really good move.
I think
still north as well.
Exactly.
He has to move to London.
So close to the Whitley Bay hockey team. I love so dearly. And, he's still close to his family and stuff. And again, when you think of Leeds, you know, it is a big club, passionate fan base.
Massive.
He could go there and be a star. He could be one of their main people. They could cheer him on.
And God forbid they did get relegated. Like, they'd love to keep him around. Aye. Like if they went back down to the Championship, he'd be absolutely class in the Championship.
He would, aye. Really good. Gone are the days we wanted 50 million from him. Says Kenny, remember that? Man United, 50 million. How true was that?
That was very, very over-optimistic. That, like, but that was only like 6 months into his career or something. Like, he literally just broke into the first team that November or something. And then by the summer, Man United were, I think they offered 30 million, but like, now we want 50.
Yeah. Get out. 30 million. Remember, obviously, I seen Matty's brother, didn't I, in Greece when I was living out there this summer, and he was laughing his head off, taking videos of us, like, pretending to ask him questions about it. They got Matty. Aaron as well saying, you know, sell and get someone better. 15 million pure profit helps towards financial fair play, and we can get a proper number six in.
Yeah, yeah. So agreed.
Makes sense. And he has saying he's English, Premier League proven, and only 25. Got to be worth 20 million plus.
Well, that I can agree with as well. That was kind of the point that I was getting to last week. Like I say, he is still young. He's valuable. I say there's a lot of English tax as well. Like, say, Man United wanted to come back in for him and they were trying to offer 50 million, 15 million. We would probably turn around and say, now we're 125.
Yeah.
And I could agree with that. Like, teams, if it was a big team, it's unrealistic because they're probably not going to want him. But if it was like a City or a United or a Chelsea or someone, would add on that British tax and say, nah, 20-25, easy.
Mm. So, I think you could get rising to 20. Finally, last topic is also a bit of transfer activity, because apparently scouts from Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid have again been watching Bruno Guimaraes, but not just Bruno. They've also been watching Alexander Isak.
And you both fuck off, eh?
Why didn't you? Why are we letting them in? So I don't know. Really, if that's St. James's, knock them back. Your name's not Danny, you're not getting in.
Yeah, get away. You know, get on the list. Get on the list, bro.
Yeah, he's not on the guest list. I'm like, get him out. Chuck him clean out. We're not going to. Scouts watching Bruno and Isak. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? I mean, people were worried after Bruno's comments in the weekend, you know, dangerous. Saying, oh, we need to fight for Europe and all that. And if we don't get Europe, will he leave? PSG and Real Madrid, two of Europe's biggest clubs. More so Real Madrid, right? Because I was having this conversation with someone the other day. I completely forgot who it was now. But I was saying to them, you know, I don't really think I could. If he went to PSG, I'd Bruno, we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Both, to be fair. Obviously, they're looking for an Mbappe replacement. There's talks of Isak or Rashford coming in for Mbappe at Paris Saint-Germain. But both of them, I can't understand either of them wanting to go to Paris Saint-Germain. Yes. It's a fancy city in Europe. It's the love the shop in Louis Vuitton and all that. But it's a dead league, dead league. Much more competitive, the Premier League. Much better fans, much better everything. Champions League, yes, they're still going to be there, but are they going to win it? Probably not. Mm. If it's a Real Madrid, it's a different story for me. Like, if someone comes in for them, then it's like, it's curtains.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, yeah, with the PSG thing, it's just that, yeah, almost guaranteed shit. Like, yeah, pretty much guaranteed the league. Yeah, guaranteed Champions League football. They are still a massive European club, massive like fan base and players. Like, they've got really, really good players because of that attraction, but also because of the Qatari ownership. They can give you wages. Like, they're gonna give you handsome money. So I can see the attraction of PSG. Obviously, living in Paris, that is a big thing as well.
Bruno's always in Paris now, and he says he loves it there.
Came from the French league, so might have ties.
Been there, done it, man. Been there, done it.
But yeah, I do agree that Real Madrid's a different animal. I think wherever you play, if Real Madrid come knocking on the door, it's hard to say no to Real Madrid. Like, they're obviously probably the European giants. Like, you forget about
the boys.
You forget about your like Man United, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, AC Inter, like Real Madrid or the boyos, like it's gonna be hard to say no to Real Madrid. So
it would be, and it would be hard for the club too as well, to be fair, now, because obviously Bruno, what I've heard is obviously the release clause is around 100 million. Mm. And it is apparently, it has to be upfront in cash. Jack Grealish special. He's that's the only player in history that has went for an upfront fee of that much. Yes, players have went for big sums before, your 80s and 90 millions, but they've been spread out.
Plans, Clarnat.
Aye, clonating. But this one, flat out fee, bang, 100 million on the table.
It's fair.
I mean, sorry for the audio listeners. But
I think it's fair, because like 100 million is a lot. And if you are going to get it in one big installment, like say, you can probably spread that cost over 2, 3, 4 years. So you maybe only going to get 30 million up front. Like, that doesn't really help Newcastle massively in FFP terms. I mean, it does, but 100 million. We can spend 300 million right now, not in 3, 4, 5 years' time. Like, we want that money up front. But yeah, like, I think especially if we don't get Europe, then we're going to come across them problems. Like, it's been said that we are going to need to sell for FFP. Darren Eales has came out and said we need to sell some of our big players. And if we don't get Europe next year, then we are probably going to have to look at that. I think Bruno probably is our most expensive player. Players, teams have been looking for him pretty much since we signed him.
Yeah.
Like, you have Real Madrid's, Liverpool, City's. There's been £100 million rumours since then. So I could see Bruno going, but if you want Isaac as well, you're going to have to cough up another triple figures, like. So if
what, do you reckon he's that 100 mil? Well, we paid 60-odd and look at how he's done since.
Exactly. So. And he's still so young. He's still only like 23 or something.
Exactly.
Like,
he's
a bit more proven now because he's been banging them in double figures in the Premier League. So I wouldn't even start a conversation with anybody unless they're going to offer three figures.
Aye.
So if you sell Isaac and Bruno for 200 million,
That's about $500 million you can spend.
We're not in Europe.
We can get a full 11 for that, can't we?
And we're not in Europe.
Five or six big players.
I think that's it's a strong possibility.
It is. Like, you're not going
to want to hear it. Yeah, don't want to do it. It is going to be absolutely lifting. But like you said, with FFP, you can flip that and say send them for 100 million. What was Isaac, 64 or something like that?
64.
Like, we could go out and try and spend like 60 million, 70 million on a replacement, and then a replacement for Bruno for 80 million, like, and still have money left over.
Still have a good couple of hundred mil to buy 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, build your squad around them two sales. So I could see it happening, unfortunately. Yeah.
It would be awful to see them leave, especially Bruno, because he's passionate and he gets it, but Isaac as well is a killer up front, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Clinical striker. One of the best men in the league, but at the same time, at least you know that these owners, we will reinvest and we will try and go again, like we've just said there, with a few more players. But obviously, we hope we can keep them.
Yep.
But in this world of a Real Madrid comes knocking at your door, and because of FFP, it'll be hard to keep a hold of him. Andy makes a good point. I'd be more worried about Man City coming in for him, because again, Pep Guardiola was.
Yes, well, I'd much rather sell him abroad than keep him in the Premier League and have to go up against him.
I wouldn't want to have to boo him either. You know?
That would be devastating. If he goes to PSG or Real Madrid, then fair enough. Pack your bags, see you later. But staying in the Premier League and have to come up against you twice a year, maybe more if you get drawn against him in the Cup, which we would. That would be heartbreaking. I wouldn't like to say that.
That'd be devastating. I think Bruno will stay for another year or so. I don't think you leave this summer. I think he'll stay for at least another season.
But it is difficult because I know he wants to stay, and you know, like, the passion that he's got, like, especially Bruno. You know, like, how much he seems to have, like, properly, like, invested in the city and the club and the fans. Like, he's fully
another Geordie boy now as well, isn't he?
Fully involved. Had two kids born in Newcastle, so you know he's always going to have that connection with Newcastle. But yeah, I just think if we don't get European football this year, and that's a big reason why we need at least Conference League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we don't even have that, then and Real Madrid comes knocking, there's no way we're not going to sell them.
Nah.
They could even put in transfer requests. And I know that would probably break Bruno's heart more than Isaac and as much as ours. He probably doesn't want to. But if Real Madrid comes knocking, 100 million minimum, maybe he's 20 million in add-ons, Newcastle reluctantly reject it, Bruno puts in a transfer request, you've got to let him go.
Yeah. I would say that, man. Right then, Peter, get your questions in. We'll wrap this one up now. A few minutes to go. Finish off on a Q&A as always. Let's just do a quick scroll up with the last couple of minutes of what we've talked about. See if anyone's got any questions. Then we'll go back up. Chris is asking, what do you think about the Australian trip at the end of the season? We've talked about that, Chris. We'll have a little rewind.
Rewind
inside when this one finishes. Without selling, what's our summer budget supposed to be? God knows, mate. Probably 100 odd million at a push, to be fair, like, without selling.
Without selling. Fuck, yeah, I don't know. I suppose it depends on where we're finishing the league, to be fair. I think, obviously, you get, like, bonus money from the Premier League on where you're finishing the league. So, yeah, I wouldn't even be able to hazard a guess at the minute, to be fair. But, yeah. 100 million minimum.
100 mil, probably, you'd hope we'd say in 3 or 4 in the summer, but you were going to get rid of loads of deadwood this year. But that's for another video, I reckon. Because obviously we'll keep this going throughout the summer when there'll be plenty to talk about, hopefully, plenty of transfers and all that.
Crossed.
Biff is asking, evening Biff, is Pasty Guy still kicking about? He is. He's normally in the chat, to be fair, isn't he?
He's not dead.
He's thankfully still alive and kicking. And he is normally in the chat as well in these live shows. I haven't seen him tonight.
Oh, yeah, man, Pasty, if you're there,
where's Pasty getting out, man? But normally he's in hospitality, isn't he? Smashing the cash, easy as Pasty, right? Hospitality for Blackburn, for Sunderland, for the Champions League.
Get himself a couple of pints, he might be able to sneak in.
He must have won fucking Deal No Deal or something. Pasty guy, right? He's won some leagues, isn't he?
She had hospitality for the women's game at St. James's.
I did, because we were in the press box. He was above me.
The friendly at Gateshead. I'm sure he was in hospitality at Gateshead in pre-season.
Hey, he's living the life, Pasty, like. Living the Breaking Bad, Pasty style.
Right, well, that was a nice drop. Might get another one.
What you got there?
Blind Faith. That's the one, to be
fair. Like, that's probably my favourite as well.
Really, really is.
At the start of the stream there, before we came on, got Geordie Revolution here offering accommodation and a mad golf course for us out in Australia. Ooh. So appreciate that, mate. Drop us a DM, but it's probably looking difficult for me to come out of Australia. I'm not going to lie, mate. I looked at the flights the other day. It was 1,300 return.
That's sorry, man.
That's sorry, guy.
So where are the games?
Melbourne. My brother lives in Brisbane.
I was going to say, you've got a brother out there.
But that's still a couple of hours flight.
Long time.
Maybe if it was like official pre-season tour, but not just for a few days and two games.
Yeah, like I say, I think it's really going to be like the kids. I think the majority of the first team players are going to be allowed a holiday, first and foremost. But the ones that are selected for their countries at the Euros, then, yeah, I can't really see too many like key players going over there.
No, you can't like that close. Rifling through some of these... Fraser still here, man. Well, he'll be going to Southampton permanently, hopefully, because they actually like him. He's had a good loan spell down there in the Championship.
Yeah, Fraser, Hendrick, Hayden. They're still on the books, these boys.
Right, Hayden played at the stadium of shite the other day for QPR.
Yeah.
How many more games does Howe lose before he gets sacked? That's G88. He was not getting sacked.
This is back to the Brucey days.
Hennon, do we play in Adidas in our last game of the season? Now, I miss that tradition, I do. Remember that match of the day? I used to love the last match of the day. Some still do. Adidas main?
We haven't for a long time.
We haven't for a long time. But I used to love that, watching the upcoming kits on the last game of the season.
Yeah, that is seeming to be a bit of a dying tradition, but some teams do still do it. Yeah, that's possibly mainly just for us.
Tell you what, I'm looking forward to the old long sleeves.
Have you seen
Adidas released the German Euro kit with the long sleeves?
I haven't seen that, actually.
You need to Google it. It's unbelievable. The German flag runs down the sleeve. Orange and black. It's very sexy. Like, very, very nice, that German long sleeve kit.
I'm looking forward to it.
All the Argentina one as well is lovely, and that could be based on the Newcastle one, the thick stripes I'm hearing. Mm. So that's something to look forward to. Let's get your last couple of questions, just rifling through them from the hour and 22 minutes we've been going for.
Long one
indeed. If you haven't subscribed and give a like, please do, and the audio listeners do the same.
Follow that right now, will you?
Those reviews, thanking you. Right then, last couple. Bruno will be off to Spain. See somebody there. Bruno stays for a few more years, says Aaron.
Hope so.
Catching up here now, to be fair. Catching up. So, what's the last couple?
There he is.
There's Pasty guy in there. Joe Chilcott. Talking about shifting out Hendrick. He'll be the hardest one because he's the one that can't get a game for anyone. But Conrad runs out this summer, doesn't it?
I think it does.
Hendrick's away, man. Free agent.
Get him off the books, man, will you?
Manuel Dennis will be a good signing. Was he still at Watford?
He was at Forest last I heard. Is he at Watford now? I can't remember. I don't know. I liked him. I remember signing him out in FIFA in 2020 during lockdown.
he was a bit of a goal scorer for a while.
Is the news of the takeover first happened, I went on a pure mad FIFA spree, like trying to like make like a realistic like new Newcastle team. But obviously that was like when the court case happened and the takeover was pushed back like a good year after that. I signed Emmanuel Dennis. Now he was decent. I like him.
He had a good little spell for Watford, to be fair.
He did. And then he was at Forest last year. I didn't even know where the hell he is now.
I seen a good question when it was live, and I can't find it, but I'm sure it was. What players would you pick from the teams that are in the bottom three to sign in the summer? So we'll finish on that question. Sorry, I can't find it right on the screen. You can put it in again and I'll bring it up if you're still watching. But it was a question on there. You know, we'll pick one player from each team. That's currently in the bottom three. Sheffield United, Bailey and Forest.
I cannot lie, there's not many.
Sheffield United. Brenton Diaz, is he on loan, isn't he?
He's
I wouldn't have him next year. I wouldn't be better than that.
Let's have a little flick through the squad. None of the keepers. Chris Basham, John Egan.
Oh, that's awful. Holgate, awful.
Bogle, Holgate.
What about the Souza, the Brazilian? He's half our eight.
James McAtee on loan from City.
I'm going
to
go on.
Rian Brewster, I remember when he was meant to be like the next best thing. Cameron Archer's not too bad, to be fair. It's a backup third choice striker.
We're going to need a third or fourth choice striker, aren't we? I'll go on Souza.
Yeah.
James
Trafford's a decent keeper, to be fair.
Wouldn't be that bad, to be fair.
None of the Jack Cork, Jesus Christ.
Nathan Redmond. Sander Berg, we've been linked with him in the past.
He's from Sheffield United, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a squad player. We get rid of Longstaff, someone who can just come in and play Thursday nights.
None of the forwards. Fofana's
not bad, but he's on loan from Chelsea, isn't he?
Yeah, not the best.
Again, Sander Berg, so far, Souza from Sheffield, Berg from Burnley. Forrest, I'd take a few.
You've got a decent team. Matt Sells? I'm absolutely not taking Matt Sells. Williams is all right.
Willy Bonny. Sangari is all right. Kiotti is all right.
Morgan Gibbs-White. He's probably going to be
Gibbs White.
Gio Reyna. I forgot he was on loan there.
Gibbs-White. Chris Wood. Iwoni. I'd take Iwoni.
Hudson-Odoi, Alanga, Origi. Decent forwards. It's got to be Gibbs-White from Forrest, but... Yeah, Burnley and Sheffield United, they're clutching at straws a little bit.
We are clutching there. Like Ellie, you mentioned Rian Brewster there. Someone in the comments, can't believe Liverpool rinsed Sheffield United £20 million.
Was that what it was? He was meant to be top class, wasn't he? He was meant to be like the next best young thing, wasn't he? He was going to be like England's like future superstar. Jesus Christ, how the mighty fall.
We'll end on that one. On that bombshell that is Rian Brewster's career.
Sorry, Rian. Wish you better.
Yeah. Still making loads of money in some shady night. So, thanks very much, everyone, for tuning in to this week's podcast. Remember, the TMC podcast live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. Thanks as well to the people that have listened on audio. We are available on all podcast platforms, Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever else you find them. Stay tuned to the Magpie Channel TV. Plenty of videos coming this week, even though it is an international break. Do subscribe. And enjoy yourself. Bash.